the number, the tally, right? I'm asked to make sure that every speaker identifies himself by name and presbytery. I believe that the tally is complete. Those, the nays, please sit down. Now those who are in favor, the ayes, please rise. Again, let us be still and quiet. Perhaps I can make the two other announcements to say the assembly time. Some have asked that we request the brethren in the refreshments area not to speak loudly, to be more quiet, so that not to interfere with the assembly business. Be seated, please. The ayes 354, the ayes 354, the nays 219. We shall proceed for another 5 minutes. I'm afraid we've taken 5 minutes to decide that.
At Mike 7.
This is Moderator Bob Schuch, Mid-Atlantic. I'm speaking against the recommendation. And I would call the attention of the brethren, as we've already seen this morning in this brief discussion on this issue, if this is adopted, we are opening the General Assembly to almost endless debate on every one of these cooperative agreements, on every possible point of doctrine that could be raised all through the line. We'll spend days on each one of these, and so I would urge the Assembly to vote against this and leave it as it is presently operating.
As a speech and against the recommendation, number 11.
Moderator, George Knight from Midwestern or St. Louis Presbytery. I think this is a very crucial issue because we're seeking to decide whether the General Assembly is the final court of review or whether we are giving that to a committee itself. Please notice that only one point has been challenged in the committee's report. And that is a semantic question as to what agreement or what acceptance means. It may mean only that it is acceptable. But let us suppose that even if the challenge is given full credence, the other points of the committee's report still stand. All that we are adopting is the conclusion. And those points warrant the conclusion that the assembly is the right body to make decisions dealing with doctrinal questions and cooperative agreements. I urge the Assembly to vote in favor.
Is there a message against? Microphone? No one to speak against the motion? Microphone number 5 to speak in favor. We should close the debate very quickly.
Jim Workman, Eastern Carolina Presbytery. I served this year on the Committee of Commissioners on Mission of the World, and specifically on the subcommittee that reviewed the cooperative agreements. And I'd like to say that in that rather small context with three of us looking at these, a rather fair amount of pressure was brought on us to go ahead and approve these, since people were either on the field or imminently ready to leave for the field. And I believe that this forum, if it heard the presentation, would in most cases be persuaded. And I think that the matter of taking up hours on these things is ridiculous. that once we heard the work that the Mission of the World Committees put into these and their approach to the cooperative agreements, there wouldn't be a great deal of debate, but those things that should be discussed could be discussed in a larger forum, not just three men with a staff from Mission of the World. I believe it should be adopted.
That was a speech in favor. Microphone number 10, Dr. McElwain.
Mr. Bogue.
Identification, please.
Beg your pardon?
Identification, please.
McElwain, W.A. McElwain.
Presbytery.
Gulf Coast Presbytery.
Thank you.
Mr. Bogue has referred to a case in point in which the matter of whether regeneration precedes faith or not is up. Now this, I am in favor because right here we are faced with that very important issue. One of the new very popular translations of the New Testament deliberately changes the Greek grammar in order to make the order there of becoming children of God to follow, that follows faith. Whereas if you will take the grammar and study it carefully, you will find that those who have believed receive the right to become the children of God. And what is the right? It is sinlessness. And they have been justified. And there they have the right to be the children of God. And the whole Gospel of John carries this through. It's at the very center of our faith. And a point like that coming up should certainly come before the General Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you. No one else to speak? Are we ready to vote? The question is, shall the opinion of this constitutional advice, shall this advice be accepted by the Assembly or not? Those in favor of accepting, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It is carried. The advice is accepted. Thank you. A report from the Interchurch Relations, consideration of the Ad Interim Committee. Some material to be distributed, please.
Yes.
While this is being distributed, perhaps I can make another announcement and save a couple of seconds of time. On your proposed docket, on the docket, you have stated that at 6:30 tomorrow morning, Chuck Colson will speak at the MPRF breakfast. Now, that has been rescheduled because the NPRF breakfast would be at the Commons with a small room and not enough place for people to hear Chuck Colson. Surely a great number will want to be with him and hear his report and so on. So the program featuring Chuck Colson will be held instead at the Field House, the gym here, at 7:15 a.m. Wednesday. Is that clear? The NPRF program featuring Chuck Colson, previously scheduled for the Commons at 7, has been rescheduled for the Field House at 7:15 Wednesday here. Take note of that, and there will be room then for all to hear. Page 541, thank you.
That's the report now. We're going through the whole thing. You're going through the whole report, are you?
Yes.
All right, you need to read the whole. You need to open prayer and read the whole.
I believe we're ready to start the report. Some few still to get their copies, but it is to be read in toto.
Mr. Moderator and fathers and brothers, I'm David Justly, teaching elder of Mississippi Valley Presbytery. Let us begin this report of the Committee of Commissioners with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come into your presence this day, thanking you that we can call you our Father. Thanking you that we have been adopted into your family because of the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are aware this morning that we are but one branch of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is spread throughout all the earth. Yet, O Lord, we as a denomination and we as individual members of it desire to see greater unity of your church, and especially greater unity existing among those of us who have like-hearted agreements and like-hearted confessions. We ask you, O Lord, to direct us now as we consider this report, that all that we do and the way we discuss the matters that are before us would be to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, who is the head and the king over our church. Bless us, direct us, and grant us your assistance. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This is a report of the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations. The standing rules of the Assembly require me to read this report to you, and I'll move through it as briefly as possible. The business referred to this committee were the minutes of the Ad Interim Committee on Interchurch Relations, the Subcommittee on Interchurch Relations, and the seventh meeting of NAPARC. Reports and recommendations considered with the Subcommittee on Interchurch Relations, which are found on pages 501 through 503 of your handbook, the Ad Interim Committee, pages 1301 and 1302 of your handbook, and the Subcommittee on Judicial Matters of the Committee on Administration, page 1306. We also received communications from the Korean American Presbyterian Church, the Korean Presbyterian Church in Korea, and the World Alliance of Reformed Churches. Secondly, the major issues discussed were the procedures dealing with joining and receiving, our relationship with the OPC, and the relationship with the ARP. Roman numeral number 3 brings before this body the recommendations of this committee. Number 1, that the minutes of the Permanent Subcommittee on Interchurch Relations on August 14, 1981, September 26, 1981, and January 12, 1982 be approved. Number 2, that the minutes of the Ad Interim Committee on June 16, 1981, July 15, 1981, December 10, 1981, February 25, 1982 be approved. Recommendation number 3, that Dr. Francis Schaefer be permitted to address the 10th General Assembly as the keynote speaker for joining and receiving. You'll also see the votes of the committee at the end. Roman numeral number 4, or number 4 rather, that all matters related to the continuing process of effecting one church be referred to the appropriate committees or agencies of the General Assembly. Number 5, that the following form be used for joining and receiving RPCES corporations if such takes place. Now, therefore, the Presbyteries of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod have become a part of the Presbyteries of the Presbyterian Church in America. The boards and agencies of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod are received by the appropriate committees and agencies of the Presbyterian Church in America. A. Corporations. The Presbyterian Church in America will determine that these corporations shall be active. Presbyterian Church in America, a corporation. A corporation of the state of Delaware. Presbyterian Church in America Foundation Incorporated, a corporation of the state of Georgia. Reformed Presbyterian Foundation, a Missouri corporation. Ridge Haven Incorporated, a North Carolina corporation. Covenant College, a corporation of the state of Missouri, domesticated under the laws of the state of Georgia. Covenant Theological Seminary, a corporation of the state of Missouri. These corporations shall be merged into and become a part of the Presbyterian Church in America, a corporation. Christian Training Incorporated, a Delaware corporation. World Presbyterian Missions Incorporated, a Delaware corporation. National Presbyterian Missions Incorporated, a Delaware corporation. Board of Home Ministries, a Michigan corporation. And Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, a corporation of the state of Pennsylvania. The RPCES Pension Board, and Illinois Corporation. B, Board of Directors. The Committee on Administration of the Presbyterian Church in America shall serve as the Board of Directors of the corporations to be merged into the Presbyterian Church in America, a corporation, for the purpose of accomplishing the mergers and winding up the affairs of each corporation, seeing to it that all duties, commitments, responsibilities, and obligations, I can't pronounce this word, somebody help me, fiduciary and otherwise of the various corporations are strictly observed. The Reformed Presbyterian Foundation. The Reformed Presbyterian Foundation shall be merged into and become a part of the Presbyterian Church in America Foundation, incorporated as rapidly as facts and circumstances permit. As agreed between the boards of the PCA Foundation and the RP Foundation, the newly elected board of the PCA Foundation, which shall include RP representation, will become the board of the RP Foundation during the interim period. D, Covenant College and Covenant Theological Seminary. These educational institutions are authorized to operate and to be governed pursuant to their newly amended bylaws and or articles of incorporation during the coming year, and the Committee on Administration is directed to prepare amendments to the bylaws of the General Assembly of the PCA to conform to the bylaws and the articles of incorporation of these institutions. Number six, that presbyteries newly formed according to the plan of joining and receiving be directed to meet as soon as possible to be reconstituted, and that the stated clerk of each presbytery serve as convener, or if no PCA churches or ministers are involved, the stated clerk of the RPCES presbytery serve as convener. Number seven, that all the records of former RPCES presbyteries be closed as of the date of reconstitution. Number eight, that future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations, and that the General Assembly ask the presbyteries to consent to an invitation by the 11th General Assembly, if the way be clear, to the OPC to effect and perfect one church under the Constitution of the PCA. Number nine, that Covenant Seminary be the repository for RPCES Presbyterian Synod records and other historical materials until such time as permanent arrangements can be made. Number 10, that all records of RPCES committees and boards be deposited at Covenant Seminary until such time as permanent arrangements can be made. Number 11, that the ad interim committee to discuss be dismissed with the General Assembly's deepest appreciation for their labors, and all continuing matters related to fraternal relations with other denominations be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations. Number 12, that the General Assembly approve the reception of the Korean American Presbyterian Church and Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church into membership in the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council. Number 13, that the General Assembly express its desire to enter into fraternal relations with the Korean American Presbyterian Church, and that the Subcommittee on Interchurch Relations be authorized to appoint two fraternal delegates to the upcoming meeting of the General Assembly of that church. It is understood that these fraternal delegates will be in the area at the time of the meeting, thus minimizing expenses. Number 14, in the matter of fraternal relations with the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America makes the following affirmations. We recognize that it is possible for Christians and for judicatories to say and to do things that offend other Christian brethren, and we acknowledge that offenses against Christian brethren do occur and have occurred that affect the testimony of the church before the watching world. B, we reaffirm our commitment to fraternal relations with the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. C, we affirm our willingness to study the question of establishing standards of comity in relation to other denominations, together with procedures for receiving and dismissing churches, and to ask the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations to bring a recommendation to the 1983 General Assembly. Number D, we do overture the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council, NAPARC, to make a similar study, and do hereby instruct the stated clerk to convey this request to NAPARC. That the General Assembly acknowledge the courtesy of the invitation from the World Alliance of Reformed Churches to be represented with an observer at the General Council in Ottawa in August but that in light of the fact that the Presbyterian Church in America continues at this time to perfect its ecclesiastical relationships, we decline this invitation with thanks for having for its having been extended. Number 16, that the report as a whole be adopted. Respectfully submitted, David Justly, Chairman, Don Post, Jr., Secretary, and you have a list of the Committee of Commissioners from each presbytery. Mr. Moderator, if I could make one comment concerning this report as a whole before I move into the recommendations. You'll note that the vote has been recorded at the end of each recommendation, and every time in a recommendation where you see a star or an asterisk, that indicates that some changing in words has occurred between the Committee of Commissioners report and that which was listed in the Permanent Committee.
Thank you. Okay. We proceed to the recommendation.
Okay, now one other matter of change. There was a personal resolution introduced last night that was also referred to this committee by teaching elder David R. Dively. Mr. Moderator, should I read that again? It's going to be distributed, so we might as well go ahead and get this passed out before the assembly.
I would think about it be passed out.
I would think you can go on start with the recommendation.
Yes, start with the recommendation.
Okay, this
please,
will be...
Please give your attention to the recommendations while this green slip is being passed out.
We're going to move ahead with recommendation number one. Mr. Moderator, I move its approval. The Committee of Commissioners moves the approval of recommendation number one.
Recommendation number one, the minutes of the Permanent Subcommittee be approved. Any question or debate on that? If not, they will stand approved.
Mr. Moderator, we move you the approval of recommendation number two.
Number two, that the minutes of the ad interim committee here given, that they be approved. Is there debate or question on that? I see none. It stands approved.
Mr. Moderator, recommendation number three has already been approved by this assembly, so I would move you, sir, the approval of recommendation number four.
I'm glad that no one wishes to reconsider number three. number four is before you. Is there a question or comment on this? If not, it stands approved.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to move to you the approval of recommendation number five and request to yield the floor at this time to a member of the Committee of Administration, Chaplain Don Clements, who's going to make an amendment to recommendation number five.
Recommendation number five is before you, and an amendment is proposed. Number eight, I'm sorry.
Mr. Moderator, Don Clements, Mid-Atlantic. I have an amendment to make to 5C on the Reformed Presbyterian Foundation that comes from the Committee on Administration. However, I understand that there is a substitute to be made for that paragraph, and I'd like that substitute to get on the floor so I could amend that in case it happens to pass.
We hear there is a substitute to be proposed, number two. I recognize number two. Is this for the substitute amendment that is mentioned?
Yes, sir, it is. Right. This is John Albritton, Evangel Presbytery, and I have a substitute for 5C to read as follows. The Reformed Presbyterian Foundation shall be merged into and become a part of Presbyterian Church in America Foundation, Inc. as rapidly as facts and circumstances permit. The trustees of the Reformed Presbyterian Foundation, elected as provided in the bylaw of the corporation and placed in classes for a specific term of years, and the board of directors of the Presbyterian Church in America Foundation, Inc., elected by the General Assembly, shall constitute the board of directors of the Reformed Presbyterian Foundation during the interim period.
This motion has been made. Is there a second to it? An amendment, a substitution for 5C. It's been seconded. It's open for debate. Do you have a word of explanation?
Yes, Mr. Moderator, if I might, for the moment. There was some confusion concerning the understanding between the PCA and the RP concerning the membership of the board of the RP Foundation after joinder. This motion that I am substituting is the original motion that was passed and understood by the RPCES, and in good faith, I think we should move and accept this substitute so that that understanding would be maintained.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Is there on the other side? Number 8, Clements.
Don Clements, Mid-Atlantic. I'd like to move to amend the substitute by adding to that paragraph C the following sentence. Any rule of the PCA which might prevent a trustee of the Reformed Presbyterian Foundation from sitting as a member of the Board of Trustees of the Reformed Presbyterian Foundation or as a member of the Board of Directors of the PCA Foundation is suspended for a period of 2 years. If there's a second, I'd like to speak to it.
Is there a second to that amendment to the amendment? It is seconded. You have
Mr. Moderator, the Committee on Administration is the committee that originally dealt with this matter of the corporation and made the recommendation that then went to the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations. Yesterday morning at a meeting of the Committee on Administration, we found a problem in that several of the members of the RP Foundation are in fact employees of the church. The PCA has always taken the stand, and that was affirmed last year, that no employee of the church may also be a member of any board, committee, or agency. However, in order to honor the continuing needs of the RP Foundation, this amendment, by adding this sentence, would suspend that rule in this case only for these 2 years to allow some continuity for the people who are on the RP Foundation to continue. And so I would urge the support of this amendment.
This amendment to the substitute has been made and seconded. Seconded, I believe, by the David Justice, the chairman. Is there any comment on that? Are we ready to vote on that amendment?
Mr. Moderator?
Number 10. Number 10. Yes.
Mr. Moderator, Fred Marsh, Mississippi Valley. Is our rule not that a staff member is not allowed to serve on the body which oversees him and may in fact serve on other committees? I believe that was changed last year. And if so, it may have a bearing on the vote on this case.
It would make it unnecessary. It would not be opposed. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes. I don't know that we have the data on that before us. Inasmuch as it would not make a difference, and we don't have the data before us, we could perhaps more conveniently adopt it anyhow as a saving faith motion.
Actually, Mr. Moderator, the way the rule was adopted last year, it was that an employee may not serve on a committee that pertains to his job. So an employee may serve on other committees. But it would not hurt to go ahead and pass this covering motion just to cover any problems with it.
Perhaps we should go ahead and vote on this covering motion. Is there a question? And no further request for the floor. Those in favor of this amendment to the substitute, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? It is carried. Then the substitute is before us. Is there any further debate needed on that? If not, the substitute, as you understand, clarifies and so on. Those in favor of the substitute, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered.
Mr. Moderator?
Yes. Yes.
I would move you now the adoption of recommendation number 6.
Right.
Number 6. We need
to... I'm sorry. We're still dealing with number 5.
We need to adopt number 5 as...
Okay.
Right. Yes. Number 5 is, as a whole, as now amended, is now before us. Number 10.
This is Ed Johnston from Mississippi Valley. In 5A, the last sentence, this is just a question. The RPCES Pension Board, or is it the Pension Fund? Some information we had yesterday from the RP was the...
The question is the corporate name of the RPCES pension business. Is it board or is it fund? Can someone speak to that? Someone who knows? Is Dr. Dernis here? Is someone on that board?
Mr. Moderator, we tried to trace that down. We're working with the name pension fund of the RPCES, an Eliana corporation.
Illinois Corporation.
Yeah. Illinois Corporation. That's correct.
Okay, should that be fund rather than board?
Apparently, it should be fund rather than board.
Yes, I believe so. That was my understanding.
Is there an objection to putting that in?
No objection at all.
If not, shall we change that to fund? Thank you. Then, the five is before you. A good bit of this is legal material and rather necessary in its present form, I believe. Shall we proceed? Those in favor of the adoption of recommendation number 3-5, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered.
Mr. Moderator, the committee commissioners moves you the approval of recommendation number 6.
Recommendation number 6 is before you. Request for question or debate from number 2.
Mr. Moderator, I need some information in order to understand the direction. We have that the Presbytery is newly formed, be directed to meet as soon as possible, to be reconstituted, and that the stated clerk of each presbytery serve as convener. Then in the parenthesis, or if no PCA churches or ministers are involved, the stated clerk of the RPCS Presbytery. In the former Midwestern Presbytery, and it's quite parallel, I believe, in the New Jersey Presbytery. In the former Midwestern Presbytery, there are 3 individual PCA men and now a PCA church, if I'm not correct. Are you suggesting that they, of course, have had no stated clerk? How do we have them convene it in the light of this parenthetical section?
Yes, this is the question. If the PCA, if there is no PCA stated clerk, what happens? Could you enlighten us?
Does that presbytery have a stated clerk? Then the stated clerk of the RPS Presbytery would serve as conveners, the way I understand this motion.
Identify yourself, please.
Don McNair from the New St. Louis Presbytery. The presbytery that was the Midwestern is divided up. Now, it happens that the former stated clerk lives in the St. Louis area. And if we, by common consent, say fine, let him convene it. But our presbytery is no longer existent as it was. And all we're asking for is the assurance of the body. If you want us to use that man because he's geographically in the St. Louis area, that's great, as long as everybody knows what they want to have to happen.
Mr. Moderator, I think that's going to be true in several places, and that's a question that has been raised by many of our presbyteries, which are predominantly RPs and will not have PCA. I would agree that this would be the ruling, that the stated clerk of that predominant presbytery be the convener.
Does the committee have any suggested wording, or do you have a suggested wording, Dr. McNair, too? It would be possible to say if this is not practicable, the stated clerk of the RPCS, would you like to move something like that?
My understanding was that was the intention of this motion. If that's not clear enough, and we need to make it more specific, then I don't know exactly what to do myself, Mr. Moderator, but my understanding is exactly what Dr. McNair mentioned was what we desired.
If that is not practicable, then. Mr. Moderator, number 10, will you
Mr. Moderator,
take over?
Fred Marsh, Mississippi Valley. I would move that the item be amended to read that if no PCA stated clerk be available, that the General Assembly moderator appoint a convener for that presbytery.
You've heard the motion as an amendment. Is there any objection to it? Any discussion of it? If not, shall we, is that all right to accept that? Then we'll accept that recommendation then. And then it would read how? Could you read it to us?
You're still writing it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Here it comes forward. Perhaps we should have it written. Read to us.
You'd read it again.
The amendment would read that if no PCA clerk be available, the General Assembly moderator shall name a convener for that presbytery.
Thank you. That is accepted. So the number six then is before you. No further discussion necessary. Number 10, the request.
Mr. Steiger's Ileana Presbytery, we would have somewhat the same situation. I don't know that there's a PCA church in Ileana Presbytery.
Well, this would be solved in that case. It would gather that the stated clerk of the RPCES Presbytery would serve as convener, would be the interpretation that we would suppose, Mr. Dunley? No?
No, it's just that no. You would appoint a convener.
Apparently, in any other case, the moderator would appoint.
Well, we would have to have somebody appointed.
Yes, that is apparently the case. The moderator would appoint one if you would tell him whom to appoint.
Well, we do have a stated clerk. I would assume that the rule of the chair might be that the appropriate stated clerk in any such condition would be the convener.
Presumably that's one I would appoint, but according to what is before us, apparently it is up to the moderator to do the appointing. So thank you. We're ready to vote on number six. The amendment. No, the amendment was declared passed.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no question on the amendment, so I declared the amendment passed. Correct. So number six, as amended, those in favor of number six as amended, I think perhaps we should draw to a vote. Please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered. Number seven.
Mr. Moderator, we move you the adoption of recommendation number seven.
Number seven is before you. Any question or debate on that? If not, number seven will be adopted.
Mr. Moderator, we move you the adoption of recommendation number eight.
Number eight, number 10 to question.
Mr. Moderator, Mickey Bolas from Central Georgia Presbytery. I would like to ask a point of clarification on number eight, please.
Yes.
According to the wording, it's asking the presbyteries to give consent to the 11th General Assembly, which would be next year's assembly, to give an invitation to the OPC Church. Are you then asking, if this passes, for all the presbyteries during this coming year to meet and vote yea or nay, and then report that back to the 11th General Assembly? Is that what you're asking us to do?
Thank you. Is that clear?
And then that General Assembly can do with that what it wants to do. If it desires to extend an invitation, it can do so and send it back to the presbyteries for another 3/4 vote.
But in other words, you're asking through the presbyteries to test the waters before we meet next year.
Yes, sir.
Is that clear? Number eight, I hope.
Moderator Don Hope, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I move you a substitute recommendation that future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations for preparation to consider at the 11th General Assembly. I would like to speak to that.
It moved and seconded.
In the light of a matter so significant as this, at which both the General Assemblies of the RP and the General Assembly of the PCA have voted in times past, each with a differing conclusion, and in both cases I think the vote was relatively close, it seems to be a matter of this import should first be debated on this floor. In a previous recommendation made just a few moments ago, we voted again to preserve the ultimate authority and the importance of the General Assembly on a matter of far less importance, which was namely simply considering for review the doctrinal statements of a cooperative mission. In a matter of this significance, which has occupied General Assembly before, it would seem to me of extreme value that this matter be postponed, studied by the General Interchurch Relations Committee, and brought before this General Assembly in proper order before it is again referred to the presbyteries. And I therefore move this recommendation and it be considered at our next 11th General Assembly.
Thank you. You've heard the motion, the recommendation. Will you please give it to the clerk in written form?
I hope.
Are you speaking to this amendment? Number six.
Levi, is it in order to offer a substitute to the substitute?
Name, please.
Bailey Cadman, Ascension Presbytery.
An amendment to an amendment is in order.
I'd like to move then that the personal resolution number 2 of teaching elder David Dively be substituted for the substitute motion.
That's the one on the green seat.
Yes, could I ask if that could be read, please?
You have it before you. Will you read that?
Yes, Mr. Moderator, I'd be glad to read it. And by the way, this should be corrected. This is to the Committee on Interchurch Relations and not to the Committee on Judicial Business, if you'd make that correction.
To the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations?
Yes, sir. Personal resolution number 2 from teaching elder David R. Dively. Whereas the biblical teachings concerning church unity as a part of God's word shall stand forever, and whereas there has been much concern and interest within the PCA and RPCES on joining and receiving by the PCA of the OPC, and whereas there was one major issue of debate concerning the joining and the receiving of the OPC, and whereas there have been major developments in this area during the past year, and especially since the voting of our presbyteries on joining and receiving of the OPC, and whereas evidence of the potential effect of these developments can be seen in the reconsideration by one of our presbyteries of their vote on the joining and receiving after these developments, and whereas the tally of our voting by presbyteries was quite close, and whereas there may be other presbyteries who would vote differently in the light of these developments, therefore, be it resolved that the 10th General Assembly renew the invitation of joining and receiving to the OPC in the same form and substance as it was by the 9th General Assembly, to the end that one church may be unified and perfected among us by the 11th General Assembly. Respectfully submitted, David R. Dively, teaching elder, Eastern Carolina Presbytery.
Thank you. Just a moment. There is some parliamentary question whether or not this is a substitute for the amendment or whether this should be presented later as a substitute for the main motion when it is amended. This is the question. Yes. Now, that is have to get back to the main motion. He presented it as a substitution. Can't do that until the amendment goes first.
That's correct. Yes.
Apparently, we are back to the amendment of Mr. Hoke, Dr. Hoke's amendment. And if that is voted up or down, then this would be in order as a substitute for the main thing. It is out of order at this time. It will be in order later. So we're back to the discussion of the amendment of Dr. Hoke. Did you wish to speak on that, Mr. Graham? Number 2.
Moderator, I would like to support Mr. Hoke's substitute motion, and I might have spared you remarks if I had not heard the substitute which you just rejected, which will no doubt arise again. Yep. Therefore, will you accept if I simply speak in support of Mr. Hoke's motion? I would like very quickly to tell you that I was a member of the First General Assembly of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I served in its ministry for a dozen years. I have a brother that sits in that assembly today at the age of 77, and some of the dearest friends that I have had in life are in that assembly, and with whom I could not be more eager to join in such union. I speak with great feeling, therefore. However, within the past hour, I was told by one witness who is a very respected member of that assembly, holding even office among them, that the majority of that assembly probably would still be found supporting the views of Norman Shepherd, because of which we refused to extend the hand last year. This concerns me gravely. I think that the action at Westminster Seminary is conclusive for the seminary. I do think, however, that the dust is not settled in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And I think that it is rather important for us to give some sort of a message that we want that issue to be more settled. Now, how could it be settled? It could be settled, it is true, that if there is a joining, those who do not want to come will not come with that assembly. It is almost a foregone conclusion that there'll be a continuing Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which is a painful prospect. There is not only that issue. There is another issue that could be mentioned, and I would do so without too much hesitancy. And that is the issue of Bunsen theonomy, with Dr. Bunsen, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and a very wide support in certain areas. Not a majority, by far, it is not that. I'm not saying that it is. But I do think it's important for those of us who do not want to see a Bunsen theonomy church and do not want to see the views of Norman Shepherd, which were rejected by such great stalwarts as Philip Hughes and Palmer Robertson and William Hendrickson. Your time has lapsed.
That we not hasten this matter, but take another
year. Time has lapsed. Is it the will of the assembly to continue the debate? I think I would suggest a debate for 10 minutes. Is there a motion to extend the debate for 10 minutes?
This was only the speaker's time.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just the speaker's time. Is the will of the assembly that the speaker be allowed another minute? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Nay?
No.
We have 2 minutes on the main motion,
The speaker has relinquished the microphone very graciously. We have still 2 minutes for the debate. Is there another speaker? Number 10 microphone is asked for.
I cannot give you this information as authoritative, but I spoke to...
Identify yourself,
please.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm Pastor Bill Rose from Warrior Presbytery. And I talked to one of the commissioners from the Leak Church out in North Dakota, and Mr. Shepherd has applied for membership in the CRC, and this brother tells me that they're getting ready to take care of Mr. Bunch.
Thank you, sir. Microphone number five.
My name is Bruce Howes, and I would remind the assembly that some rash accusations concerning the opinions of Mr. Shepherd and Mr. Bunsen, assuming that they are heresy, when indeed they have not been found either by any court of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church or this church or the former Reformed Presbyterian Church, and that these sorts of statements are out of order. I would like to speak directly to the issue that we have at hand and not slander our brethren.
I believe there's been no statement on the floor to that nature.
Time on the issue has lapsed.
The time on the debate has lapsed. What is your pleasure? Do you wish to extend the debate 5 minutes? Those in favor of extending the debate 5 minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary?
No.
The debate is over.
The chairman has the last
opportunity to speak, and the motion before us is to be read.
This is a motion that future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations for preparation to consider it at the 11th General Assembly.
That is before us. Mr. Justman, you have the floor.
Mr. Moderator, later on in this report, I think that what the commissioner is asking is going to be done under number 11, that all matters of interchurch relations will be referred to the permanent committee. And I think that we ought to deal with the motion as it is before us and defeat it or vote for it and then proceed in that direction.
Thank you. We're ready to vote. Those, this is the amendment that was read, the amendment that was proposed by Dr. Hoke, I believe. Is there a question, a matter of information? Number five? Yes.
Max Harris, I believe I'm now New River Presbytery. I'm not quite clear whether we're voting on the amendment from over there to substitute that, and then we vote on it if that becomes the main motion, or whether we're voting on the main motion.
That is an amendment, and we are voting on that, which would be the main motion. It is, I think, a motion to... No, it's the main motion.
This is the main motion.
It would become.
Okay, and then we would vote again on the main motion.
And then we would have an opportunity to substitute for that if we preferred.
Thank you.
Yes. Number six. Question?
Point of information, yes. Mr. Moderator. Andrew Bells from Siouxland Presbytery. I wonder if the committee chairman could tell us in brief how the schedule goes for consummation of any joining. What other votes are involved in these different amendments?
What happens if this goes to a committee and reports back favorably? How long does it take, and what does we do? I mean, the question, I believe, is, does it require assembly action, then presbytery action of two-thirds, and then another? What does it involve in our assembly procedure? Perhaps the clerk could speak on that.
Mr. Moderator, there are two processes provided for in the Book of Church Order. One would be a plan of merger. If it's a plan of merger, it must be approved by an assembly, passed down 3/4 of presbyteries, and come back to the succeeding assembly. If it's a joining and receiving, as we have just gone through, then we have an invitation issued by an assembly with 3/4 of the presbyteries to approve, but only one assembly vote would be required.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Bell? All right. Another, yes, Mr. Hope. Number eight, I'm sorry.
It was my intention, which I believe is parliamentarily correct, to make that a substitute motion, not an amendment.
A substitute motion, which would then, you make that just be the substitute. One vote.
That's right.
Okay, we vote on this amendment that Dr. Hoke, a substitute motion which Dr. Hoke has proposed. Those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
I believe the nays have it. That motion is not accepted. We're back to the main consideration. Division called for. That takes time, brethren. It was a rather close vote, however. Those in favor, please stand and be counted.
Mr. Moderator, I'll make some announcements while this count is going on.
Shall we pay attention to announcements, please?
Reformed Theological Seminary alumni breakfast has been set for 6:30 Thursday morning, Noelcrest Dining Room. Alumni wives and commissioners are invited. Please announce both Tuesday and Wednesday. We have communications for Reverend James Alexander, Louis Huttmeyer, and Reverend Dupuy. They will be at the end of the table to my left. Committee of Commissioners on Stewardship is to meet in their regular meeting room at 1:30 today. Former Southwest Presbytery of the RPCES is asked to meet at 12 noon today in room P30 of this building for a brief 10-minute Pro Renata meeting to conduct final
Please
business.
Please be seated.
Southeast Presbytery, sorry. Former Southeast Presbytery. Call
for
your
vote. And those opposed to the motion, please rise and be counted. It's lost. I think that it is clear that the motion is lost and that we may be seated. Now, number six is before us. It would be possible yet to have another substitute motion.
Yeah, that may not be.
Number six, please. Yeah.
Bailey Kasdan, Ascension Presbytery. So I would like now to move the substitute motion, the personal resolution number 2 from David Dively.
The substitute motion has been made, the one that is on the green sheet. It has been read already. It is now in order as a substitute motion for number 6. That's what we're working on, is number 6. Yes. No.
Number 8.
Yes, it's substitute for number 8. Are we ready to vote on that? Number 10, microphone number 10, discussion.
Mr. Moderator, another point of question. This is Mickey Bolas from Central Georgia Presbytery. If I may ask, in essence, is the difference in the votes that would be required if this one passes, in that it would have the same kind of a legal effect as the vote we took in the presbyteries this last year, whereas in the original number 8, there would really be no legal validity to that vote. Is that right? Seems there's a difference in substance between the votes we would be asked to take.
I would gather that that is right. If the if number 8 would be adopted instead, it would mean the presbyteries would give advice to the next assembly. The next assembly, if it took that advice, would still have the presbyteries vote on it again. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And that would have force. Do I identify that correctly?
If this passes, then there would only be one vote in the presbyteries during this coming year?
That is correct. I believe it's correct. Number 4.
Mr. Moderator, Aiken Taylor, Western Carolina's Presbytery. The intention of the of recommendation number 8 is that the consent of the presbyteries be secured, upon which the General Assembly would then issue the invitation and the matter would be concluded. The Constitution states that the Assembly may issue an invitation with the concurrence of 3/4 of the presbyteries. The intention of the resolution is to secure that concurrence on the basis of which the Assembly would issue the invitation. It's almost the cart before the horse, but it did not, in the permanent committee's view, violate the Constitution to so schedule the vote. Now, my understanding is that the motion before the floor now would simply reverse the process and have the Assembly vote first and then seek the concurrence of the presbyteries. But if recommendation 8 passes, that would not require a second concurrence by presbyteries. No, sir.
Thank you for that correction. Is this clear for all then? Okay. Further debate. Number 5.
Mr. Moderator, Jack Mayfield, teaching elder from Siouxlands Presbytery. And I would urge you, fathers and brethren, to vote against the substitute. I say this humbly, not to speak slanderously against our brethren in the OPC. And it's not slanderous because they have told us in Siouxlands Presbytery openly themselves where they stand. And it's our impression that a majority of the teaching elders in that presbytery support Norman Shepherd. I think we need to give them time to sort this out among themselves. And I would urge you not to be hasty in this and to give the 2, 3, 4 years. One of their men mentioned to me they'd like 5 years now, whatever. But I think going to this substitute is just too fast, and we need to let the dust settle and let them sort this out among themselves. So I would urge your voting against the substitute.
Is there a speech in his favor? Speaking in favor. Number 10? No.
Yes.
Number 11? Number 11, please.
David Moon, Southwest Presbytery. I have a point of order, or a question. Will this, since it is renewing an invitation, will it require a 3/4 vote to pass?
Could you help me on that?
My understanding correct in that?
Clerk. Does it take a 3/4 vote? Does it take any more than the majority vote of the Senate? Is a majority vote of the Senate all that's required?
With the consent of 3/4 of the presbyteries.
Yeah, but how much of the Senate? The question is a majority vote of the Senate sufficient?
Yes, I think so.
And the consensus seems to be the majority vote of the Senate would be sufficient to pass, I guess, either number 8 or the substitute, either one. We'll try to research that further. Was there anyone else who wanted to speak against the substitute, I believe?
Mr. Moderator, It was also the understanding of the Committee of Commissioners, and Dr. Taylor's right, that it could go to three-fourths of the presbyteries, and the next General Assembly could approve it at that point and join and receive the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. But it was also the understanding of the Committee of Commissioners that the next General Assembly could send it back as well. If we wanted to, we have that prerogative. And that way you can delay the process longer, or you can bring it to head soon. And so we were wanting to make some positive step toward the OPC, but yet not making a quick and radical step. And that was the position of the Committee of Commissioners.
Number five, I believe.
Mr. Moderator, Paul Taylor from the new St. Louis Presbytery. I believe those of us that would favor the reception of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church should vote down both the substitute and the main motion that is before us. It seems to me that if we go ahead and pass either of these, that we risk losing it in our own presbyteries this coming year. And even if it should pass there, I fear that there's sufficient unsettlement in the OPC that we would risk losing it there again. I think that by waiting a year or maybe even 2 years, one very strong plus could be brought to bear upon the situation, and that is that the OPC could observe those of us who have been RPs and seen how we have lived happily within the PCA for a period of time, and they would see that good thing taking place with a little bit of history behind it then, and that could put a strong plus in favor of that whole thing. So if you favor the OPC coming in, vote down
the
moderator.
10 minutes are up.
The 10 minutes for debate. Is it the will of the body to extend the debate or to proceed directly to the vote? Those in favor of extending the debate 5 minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who do not, say nay.
Nay.
We will not extend the debate. So we move directly to the voting, and the voting is on the substitute, the green paper. Shall we? A point of order?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. David Dively, Eastern Carolina Presbytery. I'd like to raise a point of order that recommendation number 8, page 542, is contrary to Book of Church Order 14.6.
Number 8, we're voting on the yellow, the green page.
That's right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'll raise that later.
Your point of order would be, in fact, end point later. The question is, shall the material on the personal resolution, the green page is before you, shall that be adopted as a substitute? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
It is lost. Now we're back to number 8. Number 8, and you have a point of order. Number 4.
Yes, point of order. Recommendation number 8, page 542, is contrary to Book of Church Order 14.6, where it says the General Assembly shall issue an invitation with the consent of the presbyteries. And I understand that the judicial permanent subcommittee on judicial business should rule on this.
Your point is that to the presbytery, the General Assembly must issue the invitation before the presbytery. You do not wish to have the cart before the horse. It doesn't work, he says.
And Mr. Moderator, our rules call for such a question on the interpretation of the Constitution to be put in writing, and he apparently has done that, and it be submitted to the permanent subcommittee on judicial business for their opinion on the constitutional question. And so this really suspends further debate on this matter until that constitutional question can be answered. You can move with the rest of the report, but have to suspend on this report.
Postpone then action on number 8 until we hear that this item is reported to the Committee on Judicial Business Subcommittee.
Mr. Moderator,
we'll come back to it.
Mr. Moderator, I would move you to adoption of recommendation number 9.
Number 9 is before you. Any question or objection to number 9? I see none. It is therefore adopted.
Mr. Moderator, we move you the approval of recommendation number 10.
Number 10. Is there any question or objection? I see none. It is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, we would like to move you the adoption of recommendation number 11, and I would like to speak to that for 1 second.
Number 11 is before you. And Justice would like to speak to that.
I just want this General Assembly to deeply appreciate the labors of the ad interim committee that is going to be dismissed if you approve this recommendation. These men have worked hard and diligent and have done good work and have brought about much of the harmony and the peace that's existing at this General Assembly between the PCA and the reception of the RPs. And Mr. Paul Settles chaired that committee, and we are deeply thankful for his labors and wanted to express this publicly before the General Assembly.
Yes. I think I'd like to disagree with that just a little bit. What we fellows in the RPCES did was to vote and see these fellows and see how nice fellows they were, and that was it. This is before you, number 11, number 2.
Don McNair, St. Louis Presbytery. Our General Synod, before its conclusion, adopted a letter as a communication. I don't know if it's before this body yet, but I do want to add to these comments the thrust of that letter, which was the very deep and sincere appreciation by the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod of the work of this ad interim committee and of Mr. Settle in particular.
Mr. Moderator, we have three letters, two from the RP Synod and one from the OP Assembly, that ought to be distributed as expressions of appreciation to us at this time.
That does not interfere with our adopting the present one. And any questions or objections to this one? And it is an acknowledgement. Those, suppose we put that to a vote. Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary? It is unanimous. Number 12.
Mr. Moderator, we would move you the adoption of recommendation number 12.
Number 12. Yes, number 4.
Bob Raymond from the Ileana Presbytery. I have some hesitancy to express my feelings at this moment because it could sound as if I'm raising questions about previous actions of the General Assembly of the PCA. The RPCES has had hesitancy through the years to invite the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church into the Nay Park Council. And what I'm going to say pertains not only to number 12, but I guess indirectly to number 14 as well. I would like to perhaps, Mr. Moderator, through you, to address a question to our own chairman of our fraternal relations, or our now defunct Fraternal Relations Committee, Mr. Don McNair, and ask him, is there still some question? I've been led to believe that there is some question as to the position of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church on Scripture.
We are discussing first number 12, the Korean American Presbyterian
Church. That's right. Oh, you mean we're only discussing the...
We're only discussing 12 at this time. You'd have to raise the point again for these later.
Mr. Moderator.
Martin.
I move a division of the question on number 12.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. I was wrong. Division of the point number 12. We're discussing the first one then. We'll accept that and have a division. And we discuss first the Korean American Presbyterian Church. Would you speak to that? No, don't have anything that. Okay, the Korean Presbyterian Church. May I ask, matter of information, this comes to us as a recommendation, does it, of the Nay Park people? It is.
Mr. Moderator, what has happened is this. The constitutional procedure is that the council itself has voted. The council has voted. It was a unanimous vote of the council. And they pass it down, of the Nay Park Council. They pass it down to the denominations, and it must be passed by the denominations. Forgotten right now, it's 2/3 of the denominations, I believe, must pass it in order for it to be passed by the council, and made final.
Well, then the matter before us is the General Assembly approved the reception of the Korean American Presbyterian Church into the Nay Park. Did you wish to speak on that? Some over here asked the microphone. Number 10? No, number 9. Number 9.
No,
Nelson Malkus of Delmarva Presbytery. I think I appreciate the division of the question, but and I know where Dr. Raymond's going because I have some of the same questions. But I think that this is a very important vote and ought not slide by. I think when NAPARC came into existence, it was a very important thing, and I think that we ought to try to guard it. And before I would want to vote on this recommendation, I would want to have some sort of a report from the Interchurch Relations Committee about the character of the Korean American Presbyterian Church. Can we be assured that they qualify for membership in NAPARC?
Mr. Justoli, can you give us any report on the Korean Presbyterian Church?
If the Assembly wants to, I would refer this to Dr. Aiken Taylor, who could give us a report on the Korean American Presbyterian Church.
Dr. Taylor.
Mr. Moderator, the request of the Korean American Presbyterian Church to be received into this body or to be recognized by this body with fraternal relations came last year. And at this time, or at that time, the permanent committee expressed its appreciation. The brethren, you may recall, were allowed to speak to the assembly last year, but fraternal relations in our fellowship to this point have been formally established only with NAPARC denominations. The brethren from the Korean American Presbyterian Church went back home. Home for them, incidentally, is the Jim Jones Temple in California. And we subsequently heard with a statement of faith, which I have here, if the Assembly wants to take time to hear it. It appears to the permanent committee to be the traditional statement of faith to which we could happily subscribe. I would be glad to read it if the Assembly is interested. I am under the impression that this statement was a part of their application to NAPARC and that the NAPARC Executive Committee in approving their membership was aware of the statement. That's all I know about the character of the Korean American Presbyterian Church, Mr. Martin.
Thank you. Number four.
Bob Raymond again, Ileana. May I ask you, through the moderator, to Mr. Taylor, do I then understand that their confessional basis is the Westminster Confession of Faith and catechisms larger and shorter?
Yes. I think I would like to ask to speak on this myself, if you would take the chair for a moment. Just say that I was appointed from the church which I formerly was a member of to go to the Korean Assembly in Toronto about.
Is the microphone on now?
Yeah. About 3 years ago, the RPCES appointed me, the Fraternal Relations Committee thereof appointed me to go to the Korean American Presbyterian Assembly that was meeting in Toronto. And it was a group of about, as I recall, about 30 pastors and some of their elders with them. Bruce Hunt was with me, and I listened, and I couldn't hear a thing wrong with anything they said, especially the Korean part. Some of them I had known before. I would analyze them as very good brethren, earnest people. There are quite a few Koreans living in this country, and they're served by these men. They have drawn together in the Korean American Presbyterian Church. Two or three of these congregations are members of the former RPCES and now with you. And I imagine you have one or two such also, and some in the OPC. My own impression is, as I talked with Bruce Hunt, who of course was able to follow the Korean, that they're a worthy group. They have the right confession. They love the Lord. And I would see no reason why we should not have them in NAPARC. All right. Since you pulled it, any other discussion on item one, which is to approve the reception of the Korean Presbyterian Church in NAPARC? Any other discussion? Any objection? We'll put it to the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So ordered. Second item, reception of the ERP.
Mr. Moderator, I believe we need, unless we judge that to be have been a unanimous vote, it takes two-thirds of the ballot cast. Admission to and termination membership would be, that's two-thirds of the ballot at the council, and this recommendation must be adopted by approval of two-thirds major assemblies. Does not say what the vote must count must be. Two-thirds of the major assemblies, but so that has passed.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, I believe you then move the second part of the motion, that is to approve the reception of the North American ARP into NAPARP. Discussion number four.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to accept your wisdom expressed earlier, not to speak too often lest I lose my effectiveness, but...
You just spoke on the wrong subject before. We won't count that.
The Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod felt it had good reason through the years not even to extend fraternal relations to the ARP Church, much less to invite it into NAPARC. In fact, I can remember one recent assembly when we explicitly rejected that. And I hesitate to say this, as I've said earlier, because it reflects somewhat on an action of this assembly. You have entered already. We, I should say, have entered already into fraternal relations. But unless I've been misinformed through the years, I've been led to believe that the ARP Church, perhaps the confession says one thing, but I've understood that there is real evidence of weakness on Scripture in that particular denomination, and unless I can be persuaded that that is no longer the case, it would be very difficult for me to vote approvingly of this particular motion.
I'll take number two and then number 10, but let me ask you number two. Do you propose to speak in favor?
I propose to
number
10,
you support favor. Is anybody standing to the mic that's supposed to speak in favor? All right. I recognize you to read number 10.
Mr. Moderator, we have heard, I'm Gordon Reed from Central Georgia Presbytery. We've heard a lot of conversation and some pretty impressive words about mandate for merger and from Scripture, with which I have disagreed. But nevertheless, we are now talking about not a merger, but a recognition of Christian brethren. It is true that there have been problems and will continue to be problems in that denomination referred to, but it is also true that there is a growing, vital, now rapidly approaching dominant majority who do hold our view in that denomination. And I think if we vote down this recommendation, that we would be discouraging the brethren, which we're forbidden to do. And I believe that if we vote for this recommendation, that we will be giving them the kind of encouragement they need to come further and to be recognized their rightful place in NAPARC and associating with us in these things. One of the accusations made against ARP is that they're weak in Scripture. One of the accusations made against some who voted against the mergers we're now involved in was that we were proposing a very narrow church if we did not propose and wholly support all the mergers we're involved in. Now it seems to me that what we're seeing is just the opposite, that we are on the verge of becoming so narrow in our view of these things that we can have no relationships with others. Now, I would urge you to vote for this committee recommendation as an act of encouragement to these brethren to continue in the path on which they have already started of coming further and further in direction of a clear affirmation of their commitment to Scripture, as they do already in their confessional statements.
Fathers and brethren, the hour of the day, is what I'm thinking to say. Time's come to eat. Now, it takes by two-thirds vote, you can forego eating if you'd like, but if I don't hear anything to the contrary, I'm going to turn it back over to the moderator so we can eat. Mr. Moderator, time to eat. The order of the day, to overcome the order of the day, would require a two-thirds vote. This does not mean that this will not cannot go on after we eat, but we shall take recess at this time unless there is a motion to extend debate.
Mr. Moderator, we have some announcements.
Some announcements. Will you please give attention to these?
There have been two or three nominations submitted to the desk here that are out of order because they're incomplete. So may I suggest that those who nominated Robert Ebers, DeWitt Watson, and Ian Crichton, please come to the desk and complete that form if you wish them to be considered. Several announcements. Steve Lawton needs a representative of the EP Church in Annapolis, Maryland, to help him get a small display there this weekend.
Please, shall we have order until the meeting is adjourned?
Korean Language Provisional Presbytery meets at 1 p.m. after lunch at the front entrance of this building, Peel House. All Koreans are invited. The former Northeast Presbytery of the RPCES will meet for its pro or not a meeting at 7 p.m. tonight in the lounge of Schultz Dormitory, former Northeast Presbytery. Members of Southwest PCA and Rocky Mountain RPCES Presbyteries are requested to meet Tuesday, 1:15 p.m. behind the speaker's platform. Charles Turner, stated clerk, is calling that meeting. Committee of Commissioners Stewardship to meet regular meeting room at 1:30 today. Committee of Commissioners on Stewardship, 1:30 today. Former Southeast Presbytery RPCES will meet at 12 noon today in room P30. That was made a little while ago. And then the members of the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business are requested to meet immediately following recess of the morning session at microphone 4. David Clellan would like to meet Bob Blaylock after the morning session at the organ. That's been read. Have these others been read? The request that moderator announce to assembly that when coffee breaks are taken and when coffee...
That was read.
All right, that's been read. Has this
Keep
been read?
Quiet during coffee breaks, that's okay. What that is.
The responses from the following presbyteries regarding Ninth General Assembly exceptions to minutes have still not been received. Central Carolina, Pacific, Western Carolina. Stated clerks or other representatives, please meet with Review and Control Commission at 1 p.m., room 130 of the library. Also, if minutes have not been submitted for review, please do so at this time. A called meeting of Central Carolina Presbytery at 5 a.m.? That must have been yesterday. That's terrible.
We sleep as well as eat.
Okay, was this read, you know? MUS Committee of Commissioners are asked to meet briefly at recess at noon. Front right of the main floor. MUS Committee of Commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
We have a request from members of the Pacific Presbytery, Carl Bradley, David Bransby, Robert Taylor, that we remember in prayer Paul A. Depke, a teaching elder in Pacific Presbytery, father of four young children, who has been stricken with cancer, both lymphoma and leukemia, in the prime of his ministry. Pastor of the Covenant Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Chatsworth, California. Paul Depke, shall we remember him in prayer? I'll ask John Spencer to dismiss our meeting at this time with prayer. Shall we rise?
Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy provisions for us in all circumstances. We thank Thee for the responsibilities that have been placed upon us as ruling and teaching elders of this body, to go about the business of Thy church. O Lord, give us strength and give us clarity of mind to understand and comprehend Thy word and the actions that we should take. We would lift up this brother in his illness, cancer, for his children, for his wife, for other dear loved ones, and that Thou would sustain them and give them that comfort that only Thou can in this situation. And we would pray for healing of his body. Lord, we would ask Thee to give us rest and relief through the lunch hour, that we could relieve the tensions of the day that the food that we are to participate in would nourish our bodies and return us to this gathering, that we could once again look to the service of thy kingdom's ongoing. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
The assembly stands adjourned until 1:30 p.m. You may not have to turn to it in our hymnals to number one, all people that on earth do dwell, old 100. And shall we rise and sing? When David Linden, if you will come forward to the microphone and lead us in prayer. Mr. Reverend David Linden.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the blood that was shed on Calvary that has purchased us for you and brought us together. And Father, we claim his atoning work and his sacrifice as purchasing for us the blessing of the Holy Spirit and his operation in this afternoon amongst us. Lord, you are our God. Lead us, we pray, that we may please you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. At the place of the business of 12B,
weren't we? Yeah,
The place where we were, I believe, when we stopped for lunch was on number 12, that's page 543, and was 12B, the reception of the American Presbyterian Church into Nay Park. I think that was approved. The question was the accepting of the ARP into the Nay Park, and the secretary will, chairman will introduce that.
To mind you now that our debate is centered upon recommendation number 12 in admitting the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church into membership of the North American and Reformed Council. So that motion is before this body, and we're debating it.
We must hurry the debate. Number two.
Moderator, I'm Henry Smith, Evangelical Presbytery, and I rise to encourage the Assembly to adopt Recommendation 12 as it regards the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church membership in Nay Park. I do so, Mr. Moderator, as one who spent 15 years as a pastor in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. Now, let me make it very clear. We're not being asked to unite, to merge with the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. May I assure you, brethren, the ARPs are not going to be uniting with anybody. The situation in the ARP Church is somewhat analogous to that in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. The ARP Church has had problems and perhaps still does. Yet, we find in the ARP Church an increasingly large number of evangelical, conservative ministers who are leading that body to the position of being back on the track with the standards which remain the official standards. Now, just a sentence, the ARP Church seems to have gotten, in some of its departments, a little off the track. You might be aware of the fact that for many years, the ARP Seminary was a two-year seminary, and its graduates then very often went to Columbia, Union, and even Princeton for postgraduate work. And there they drunk deeply of the waters of Bardianism. But now the seminary is a three-year institution. It is increasingly moving to a conservative evangelical position. Now, let me point out that the ARP Church has approved by a majority vote and has adopted this statement in the Nay Park Constitution. Listen, please. They have adopted this. Confessing Jesus Christ as the only Savior and sovereign Lord over all of life, we affirm the basis of fellowship of the Presbyterian and Reformed churches to be full commitment to the Bible in its entirety as the Word of God written, without error in all its parts, and to its teaching as set forth in the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, the Canons of Dort, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and the Westminster Larger and Shorter Catechism. The ARP Church has in its synod adopted that. I might further point as evidence to the fidelity to a position of the authority of Scripture, the fact that in several recent years, at least three, the ARP Synod has, by ever larger majorities, rejected proposals for the ordination of women elders, teaching elders, and ruling elders. We heard the discussion on hermeneutic last night and were distressed by some movements away from this, but on this, the ARP Church remains one with us by ever-increasing majorities. Last year, the ARP Synod developed a strong statement on inerrancy. We were not able to locate this, but I would like the privilege, Mr. Moderator, of having Dr. Akin Taylor, quote to you the statement that the ARP Church adopted on inerrancy. May we, sir?
Are you out of information? Is Dr. Taylor prepared for that?
Dr. Laird Harris says he has it, sir.
That's Dr. Harris.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Dr. McNair has it.
Dr. Taylor, do you have it? You were at it.
Who has the statement? I gather that Dr. Taylor?